A very good morning to you all. It's lovely to be with you in the cathedral this morning. It's my first time here. You kind of come in as a visitor and you let the cat out of the bag. People can see he's not an Anglican because he kind of doesn't have the books and he's looking around at what are you supposed to do next. My mother was Anglican. She used to go to the Church of Ireland in Sandy Row, but she married a Presbyterian man, and after that they settled in Orangefield Presbyterian, and that was my upbringing. But I'm deeply thankful for the traditions of the Anglican Church, and I mean that with all sincerity. I have a very dear friend who, he won't mind me sharing a little bit of his story at the start. He is a worship leader, continues to be a worship leader in I suppose you would call it a lively, charismatic church. But he went through a period after his father's death about 10 years ago where he was exhausted, he was burned out, suffering a little bit perhaps from depression. He couldn't face coming to church. He couldn't face leading worship. He got to the point where he said, I couldn't even pray. And he would tell his story today, and he would say it was the 8:30 a.m. liturgy service in an Anglican church that literally saved my life. Because when I didn't know the words to pray, when I didn't know how to sing anymore, there was words on a page, there was a minister leading me, there was a choir leading me. So that's how important it is that we hold on to and honor the traditions of all of our churches. I believe that it's beautiful that we've got all the expressions that we have, and we should celebrate those expressions. I'm very conscious of time this morning. I want to bring 6 points, and I'll try and do that as brief as I can. I know perhaps you're used to 2 or 3 points, but I want to highlight 6 points this morning from this passage that has been read to us this morning, and essentially focused on this verse. Is a verse in John chapter 6, verse 35, where Jesus says this, I am the bread of life. I wonder if you could actually just say that with me this morning together. I am the bread of life. What did Jesus say? Because for us today, that doesn't seem like such a big deal, you know, to be the bread of life. I went out last night with my family for dinner. It's my wife's birthday today. Yesterday, my daughter was getting her AQE and GL results. So we thought, let's go out for dinner. And there was bread on the table, but we went to a steakhouse. You know, we didn't go for the bread, but there was bread at the side of the table. And we don't make a big deal of bread today. It's in a basket. Most restaurants you go to, bread is the side dish. We don't go to the steakhouse to eat bread. I go every year to France. I love going to France. I love the rhythm of life there. I go and cycle on my bike. I love the cuisine. And in every meal, the French love their bread, don't they? And it's freshly baked. And in the mornings, we go down and you go to the shop and the bread's still warm and the croissants are warm. But bread isn't our be-all and end-all today. And indeed, some people today would choose not to eat bread for different dietary reasons. Some people are deciding to lose weight and they think bread is the thing to leave out. The first point I want to make in this is that in the culture and context of which Jesus said, I am the bread of life, Jesus is not suggesting that he is a side dish. Jesus is not a little side dish that we put on in the morning when we pray, or even something as an appetizer at the start of our week. We do our Jesus thing on a Sunday. That's our appetizer for the rest of the week. When Jesus said, I am the bread of life, he is saying this, I am the main thing. Culturally, if you go back into the Bible, indeed 300 times in the Bible, we hear the word bread mentioned because it was the main dish. Right back to Genesis in chapter 3, you will hear of Adam eating bread. And fascinating, Genesis chapter 19, verse 3, where two angels are being entertained, it says this, Genesis chapter 19, verse 3, it says that they put on a feast. Everyone say feast. And the feast, in the same verse says, it was some pieces of leavened bread. I don't know how you might feel on a Friday if you've had a long day at work and you've maybe haven't had time for breakfast, maybe lunch has just been snacking on a biscuit and coffee. You didn't leave work until late. You're driving home. You get a phone call from your husband or your wife and said, I've prepared a feast for you. You start to think, oh gosh, I wonder what they've made. Vegetable soup. I love vegetable soup. Maybe it's a curry. Maybe I wouldn't have a vegetable soup and a curry, but maybe it's a curry, and I start to think about the curry. Maybe it's Italian food, and we're going to have the pizza and the pasta and the garlic bread. You start to think about that feast, and then you get home, and there's just two pieces of bread. Not even any potato crisps to go with it. But yet that was what it was like in the Bible days. It was the main thing. And this is what Jesus is saying. I am the centerpiece of your day. I'm the centerpiece of your every moment. The centerpiece of your life. Jesus said, if you want to have full life, I am the main thing. The center thing of our church. The center thing of our worship. I loved how the choir led us so beautifully this morning. And those songs that we sang were what we call Christ-centered songs. It's so important because some of our worship today, Jesus isn't the focal point. And he should be the focal point of our preaching. He should be the focal point of our worship. The focal point of everything that we do in the rhythms of church and beyond it. Spurgeon, you will know that name, C.H. Spurgeon, said this, I wish that our ministry, and mine especially, might be tied and tethered to the cross. I would have no other subject before me but Jesus alone. Moses and Elijah are well enough in their place, but when they disappear, Jesus is the best. It is of utmost importance, said Spurgeon, to those of you who have a spiritual life, that you should feed upon the Lord Jesus. For it is well that he is the center of all that we do. All scripture is profitable, but the daily household bread, the meat on which we must nourish ourselves and grow strong in God and holiness, is Christ himself. I am the bread of life, he said. We do not get bread anywhere else save in Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the centerpiece of our worship, the centerpiece of our witness. When we share with others, the course that we're doing at the moment, the evangelism training, is to introduce people not necessarily to a church or to a tribe or to a religion, but to introduce people to the very person of Jesus. We enjoyed the food in the restaurant last night, and my daughter went for a hamburger. The steak would be a little bit too much. And when the hamburger came out, it was like, it was huge. You know, they had like onions in it, and they had cheese in it. They even had a fried egg in the hamburger. And my daughter looked at it and thought, how am I going to eat this? And she left the bun out. She enjoyed everything on the inside, but she left the bun out. Is there a lesson there for all of us? That sometimes our plate can be filled. We can be so busy that we leave out the bread, the most important thing. Martin Luther was once asked what his plans were for the following day. And he said, work, 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 from early until late. In fact, I have so much to do tomorrow that I will spend the first 3 hours in prayer. How often is it the main thing, Jesus, is the thing that we leave out because our day is so busy? Very quickly, a second point is this, that when Jesus is teaching that he's the bread of life, then it is a bread that we must give out to others. When I grew up in East Belfast, I've got fond memories of the lemonade man visiting the house. I've fond memories of the ice cream man, and the music would play and the kids would run out. Not so fond memories of the fish man. I didn't like the smell when the fish fan came around. But when the bread man came, I loved going out with my mum when the Ormo bread man came and he pulled up the shutter and the wooden trays came out. And you could smell the bread. And the bread man always dressed very smart. Not like the ice cream man. He always dressed smart. He had a shirt and tie on. He wore a beige long coat that smelled of fresh bread. We need bread in our homes. Would you be the bread man? Sir, I ask you a question today. Would your children know you as the bread man in the house? That if they need to know something of the Bible, something of Jesus. We need to have bread in our schools. We need to have bread in our marriages, that we pray for each other, that our marriages, the center and focal point of our marriage is that relationship with Jesus. How do we expect our children to grow, to know and love the bread of life if they don't see it in us? Parenthood is all about modeling, even grandparents in here this morning. How can you model this for your children and your great-grandchildren? How will they love the bread of life, the Word of God, if they don't see you pray, they don't see you read the Word of God, and all they hear is you criticizing church? In the wilderness, God supplied fresh bread every day, manna. And in order to get that manna for the 40 years, you had to step outside of your tent. The Lord could have provided the manna in the tent, but he provided the manna out. And so the man or the leader of the home or the tent would need to go out and gather up the bread and bring it in for the family. What a great lesson and challenge for all of us today. Could we be the bread man for our home, for our work, for our grandchildren, for our schools? The third thing ties in from that is that the bread needs to be daily bread. That beautiful prayer that we know as the Our Father or the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread, that every day that we are nourishing ourselves on Jesus, the bread of life. Even when we refer back to the story of Exodus and the manna that was provided for 40 years, that manna was the best food you could ever eat, but it was only good for one day because the second day it had worms in it. I wonder what kind of bread we are nourishing ourselves on today, because the best bread is fresh bread. That every day we go to Jesus, that we report to God, that we confess our sins just like we did through that beautiful prayer this morning, and we make Jesus the number one. We give him preeminence over all of the other things on our plate on the day. Fourth point quickly is this, that this bread must be consumed to profit you. You see, we can have church, but not be in church. We can be part of the membership of the church, but still not to be found in Christ. It's good to have Bibles around us. My goodness, in my house, I don't know how many Bibles there are, but it only does well when you read it. You can have all of the translations, but it does well when we nourish ourselves on the Word. There are men and women in our churches today that rarely eat bread. They're willing to discuss how it's served in one tradition or another. They're willing to discuss the theory of its nutrition, whether we should eat it or not eat it, and what kind of bread we should eat. They're willing to discuss the dressings on the bread. Should we have it with butter? Should we have it with margarine? Should we have it with cheese? What times of the day we should eat our bread? But it is interesting, in all of the discussions about bread, they rarely eat it, and it goes moldy. Dear friends, may you be people today who do not get caught up merely in religious arguments about the bread, but you nourish yourself on the living Word of God. Psalm 34, verse 8 says this, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Point number five is this. Those who feed on this bread are supremely nourished. And they are nourished not just for the next life, but also in this one. I am the bread of life. He who eats of this bread will never hunger. There is something about walking in the rhythms of Jesus every day. It nourishes your soul, because there is nothing in the Word of God, nothing in the character of Jesus that does not have answers for today's problems. trying to discover the answers for mental health and all of the challenges that we have in our world today. You will find it when you nourish yourself in Jesus. You see, the whole idea of being the bread of life isn't just for the next life, it's for this one. Christianity isn't just bread for today, it's for eternity. It's not bread in the sky when you die, it's bread on the plate while you wait. It's bread for today, for all of us to enjoy. And the last point I want to challenge you with is this. What if you don't eat of this bread? What if you don't? What if you sit here today and you continue to hear the gospel, you continue to hear that the choir sing the gospel, you continue to hear of the scriptures being read, but you never come to that point where you actually empty yourself and be nourished on the very thing of God and receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. The context of the story is that it is the day after Jesus fed 5,000 people. It's the big conversation. 5,000 men, that is, and plus women and children. The big conversation on the day is the miracle. And yet Jesus draws the attention not to the miracle, but to the person behind the miracle. And indeed, three times in this conversation with the crowd, he said, "I am the bread." Verse 35, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger." Verse 41, "I am the bread which comes down from heaven," just like the manna. Verse 51, "I am the bread that comes down from heaven, and anyone who eats this bread lives forever." It begs the question, what if you don't? Some people are opting out of bread today. But what about the living bread? I heard a story, it's probably not a true story, but some humor in it, of two churches that were amalgamating some years ago. It was a Baptist church and a Presbyterian. You can imagine the debate trying to bring those two churches together. It was an aging congregation. They were struggling to look after their buildings. They decided to have the two churches together, and they decided that the best name going forward would be that they would call themselves a Christian Community Church. And one lady put her hand up and said, "I've been a Baptist for 21 years. No one's going to make a Christian out of me." Some humor in the story, but a challenge, isn't there? What are we first and foremost? I grew up in a family where my mom and dad were Presbyterian, but they weren't Christian. They attended the church, but they weren't Christian. Thankfully, before they both died, they got themselves right with God, and my mom was a wonderful Christian for 4 or 5 years before she died. But I wonder where you are today. There is an invitation for you today, an invitation over these next few months and beyond in the 10,000 Lives program. I am the bread of life. Let me close in prayer, and then I'll hand over to Sam. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is truth. And so we ask today that you would forgive us our sin. We ask today corporately that you would be our Lord and Savior. We corporately pray today, Lord Jesus, we surrender to you. You are the Son of God who died and rose again. And we choose today to empty ourselves so that we can be filled with you. We empty ourselves right now so that we can receive afresh the bread of life. Fill me now, Lord Jesus. Amen.